I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This, but an unelected billionaire with a lot of government contracts appearing to call the shots in Congress is not exactly a healthy sign of democracy. By the way, all that fear-mongering Republicans and the right wing have pushed about liberal billionaire donors like George Soros all seems pretty rich right now, considering what Elon Musk has been up to over just the last couple of days. I mean, right now, Musk is basically flaunting his influence in order to bully elected lawmakers and government officials. He has singled out relatively unknown federal officials and workers whose jobs he wants to cut. And he has already warned Republicans standing in his and Trump's way that he will fund primary challengers against them. That's one of their favorite threats these days.
That is Jen Psaki, who had been in the Biden White House. And she's proclaiming we should all fear Donald Trump yielding his power to Elon Musk. And that Musk is having more power and more authority than any civilian should have. He's a billionaire, multi times over. This is the same Jen Psaki when she was in the Biden White House, that she was all about working with Mark Zuckerberg and the rest of the media moguls so they could squash the story about the Hunter Biden laptop right before the election. And, of course, during COVID, even dictating to them what they should or should not put on their social media pages and how they should lock you out if you did not conform. And they're worried about whatever Musk thinks should be done and who should be cut. And as she said, relatively obscure positions, then maybe they really aren't needed positions. Have you considered? No, they're not going to consider facts whatsoever. They're not going to consider, here they are trying to call out hypocrisy for the Republicans because we have spoken out against Facebook and the other social media groups being allowed access to the White House, taking direction from the White House, and they don't think that was any violation. But Musk, it scares them. Let's break it down for you. Glad to have you on board. We're just moving closer and closer to Christmas. Here we are, December 23rd, 2024. And reminding you, we're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m., except for tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening, we will be playing Christmas music throughout the entire evening, trying to help get you into the spirit, more so, I hope. A lot of folks are optimistic this year going into Christmas and the coming year. And yes, it has to do with the Trump victory. But there's more to it than that. But reminding you also, in case you should miss any program on any date, you can pull it up as a podcast. First of all, reminding you also, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And also reminding you that when the programs are put up as a podcast later, you can find them at News Talk STL. You can also find them at LarryConnorsUSA.com and Larry Connors USA Facebook. They're all available for you to pick up and play as you choose. I know with the holidays, you've got a lot on your schedule, I certainly understand it. But we're still continuing to put out solid programming for you. Except for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at this time, you'll be listening, if you're listening to Stonk STL, Christmas music. And get you truly into the spirit even more so. So here was Jen Psaki basically calling out the fact that the Democrats did nothing wrong when they went to the social media outlets and basically told them, gave them directions of what to do. Zuckerberg testified to that in Congress. Testified. Yes, we were following the directions given us by the White House, reference COVID. which meant in turn as to what they put on their pages and what they denied. She doesn't seem that that is a bigger overstep than Musk simply crying out about this tax bill, and that if you support this omnibus that they tried to shove down our throat, we will primary you. That's a clear fact. If you're going to be against the president during this term, every Republican who fights against him will face a primary. You don't need Musk to tell you that. You know it. I want you to hear the reaction from Scott Jennings. He is the token conservative on CNN.
And I hear Democrats, you know, criticizing the idea that we have unelected people with too much influence over the government. I invite them to pick up the Wall Street Journal from this week and find out that unelected people have been running the government for the last 4 years. I hear Democrats criticizing the influence of billionaires on our politics when you've got this Soros punk running around collecting Democrat politicians like my kids collect Pokemon cards. So I think all the criticism of Musk coming from the left is totally hypocritical, totally over the top. And he is doing something interesting, bringing some transparency to the federal government.
Transparency, which did not exist under the Biden administration, although we were told we will be the most transparent in history. Not true. Not true. They were constantly hiding and changing and covering up. And we all know that now. And when it came to this budget, the outcry from the Democrats, because you did not let us pass this 1,500-page pork that you're cutting off funding for children that need it for cancer research. That is a flat-out lie. That legislation had already been passed by the Republicans and was ready to be signed off as a separate bill. But Chuck Schumer put a stop to it, saying we can use this, put it inside the pork, so then we can cry out when they shut it down, you're cutting off money for children. Matt Gaetz absolutely loved the fact that Musk came into the picture.
Just saw it last week. Last week, every lobbyist in Washington, D.C. wanted this 1,500-page bill to pass with billions of dollars in pork, with the funding of the censorship industrial complex, with the funding of bio labs and foreign aid that do not serve America's interests. They had all the wind at their back. They had backed us up against the Christmas break, and thanks to Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Turning Point and the millions of people who are mobilized on X, we defeated the bill of the lobbyists, and we are ready to march on with America First agenda. And the Democrats, they just don't get it. They continue to criticize Elon Musk as if he is acting in self-interest, when we all see that Elon is acting alongside President Trump in the national interest.
And that is something they also don't get, the national interest. It's all about the Biden and the progressive agenda, or has been. Now, the Ethics Committee report that's going to be released regarding Matt Gaetz, we're going to spend more time on that in the next hour, but Gaetz is trying to block it. And we'll get into details of some of that report as they've been unveiled already in our next hour. The other thing, with Trump coming in, stand by for all of you who hold DEI positions in the government. You're getting all those big fat checks just because you're the one responsible for checking diversity, equity, and inclusion. Trump says that's coming to an end.
With the stroke of my pen on day one, we're going to stop the transgender lunacy. And I will sign executive orders to end child sexual mutilation, get transgender out of the military and out of our elementary schools and middle schools and high school. And we will keep men out of women's sports. And that will likewise be done on day one. Should I do day one, day two, or day three? How about day one, right? Under the Trump administration, it will be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Good, good. And it's going to be direct to that extent. And, of course, he's got a lot of nominees lined up for his cabinet position. They need confirmation by the U.S. Senate. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul says, I'm ready to back each and every one I've seen.
You know, I couldn't be happier with his nominees. I couldn't have picked better. I mean, some of them are people exactly I would have picked. Marty McCary at FDA,
yeah.
Jay Bhattacharya at NIH, Bobby Kennedy, Kash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, just the list goes on and on. Pete Hegseth, good people. And yes, the vast majority I will support. On day one, we'll try to get Kristi Noem through Department of Homeland Security. Russ vote for OMB. We're going to work hard to get, I think in the first week, you'll have a half a dozen of them approved in the first week. I will control one committee, and that committee I pledge to get them through as quickly as possible.
Great, great, because let them hit the ground running. We got a lot to do. We want to get to busy and doing it quickly. The other issue progressives are ignoring as they try to trash Trump and the nominees by Trump is claim that maybe Musk is actually going to be president, not Donald Trump. Well, who has been president for the last 2 to 3 years? May I ask that question? Yes. Who has been president for the last 2 to 3 years? Biden? Connecticut Senator Coons is still defending him, but does have to acknowledge he did see Biden's failing mental state.
And if you look at the record of his administration, how many massive legislative accomplishments he had as president and the ways he made us safer and stronger at home and abroad, I'll take that record any day.
You told Fox this week that you didn't realize that there might be something wrong until our debate. You know, looking back, are you comfortable with your support, the fact that you were a co-chair of his campaign, the whole thing?
I still support Joe Biden. I think he's a compassionate and decent man who has been a consequential president.
No.
But that was true. The first time I saw or heard anything that made me really question his fitness to serve a second term was that debate.
But did you come out and tell the public at that point, Senator Coons? Did you? Did you also say he should not be on the ticket at any point? After that debate, and you had numerous opportunities, did you ever declare he is not competent to continue? No, you did not. You were still going to push the addled Joe Biden onto the ticket. Right up until the closing days when Pelosi pulled the pin and threw a grenade into his house, into Biden's house, and he suddenly realized, okay, I'm out of here. And the animosity, the hatred between the Bidens, Pelosi, and the Obamas and Kamala, I mean, it's like dynamite. It really is. And they're looking for a way to get even with him, I'm sure. In the meantime, you also heard Senator Coons say, our country's never been safer. Really? NBC had Alejandro Mayorkas on over the weekend. Of course, he's Department of Homeland Security Secretary. And they were questioning about all these children that are missing. Just listen.
ICE was also unable to account for more than 32,000 unaccompanied kids who failed to appear in court from 2019 to 2023, according to the report we read. The incoming border czar, Tom Homan, says these children are being exploited and trafficked. Is that true?
Well, Margaret, we certainly have received reports of children being trafficked, even those as to whom we know where they are. That is outside the responsibility of the Department of Homeland Security.
That's outside your responsibility? Should you not know who anyone who comes across the border illegally is in our country? Department of Homeland Security should know where they are. If you don't know where the children are, you don't know where any terrorists might be, do you? And he says we've heard reports. You don't have to be an idiot. You have to be a conspirator with getting more illegal children turned over to porn dens to accept the fact or believe that, oh, there's nothing really happening to them. But let him continue.
There are children who are reunited with a parent here in the United States. or a legal guardian, and they move. And sometimes the government loses track. Individuals do not comply with their reporting obligations or otherwise. I think it is inaccurate to say that all of them are trafficked or victimized. There are a number of reasons why we might lose track of an individual. That is not necessarily specific to this administration. That has been a long-standing challenge in the immigration system. One example of why that system is so broken, why the duration of time in proceedings is unacceptably long and has to be remedied. Remember, we're dealing with a system that was last reformed in 1996.
But it was not as broken as it is now. That's what their fallback is. We need to reform our immigration system. Well, it begins by closing the border so no more come over. And you begin by pressing that as a felony if you try to come into our country. And it begins by the reason you have so many now not able to show up for court dates, because you don't have enough judges to deal with it. And it would take years to get all the people there. And because you've let 12 to 15 million in, you're never going to get it done. Mayorkas will be sitting on the beach somewhere as mass graves of children are uncovered who came into the country illegally. I hope I'm wrong, but I know reality. In the meantime, Mayor Hochul is talking about how great the New York subway is. Come ride the New York subway. It's safer than ever. And yet a Guatemalan illegal is charged and pictured on video of setting a woman sleeping on the subway, setting her on fire, and then sitting down on a bench and watching her burn to death. Yeah, let's take a ride on the subway. And with some of the illegals on there, see if they have any matches or gasoline, kerosene, whatever they choose. You want to do that? That one incident will put more fear into those subway riders than they've had recently. And yet the New York governor is absolutely tone deaf. Next hour, we're going to focus on a new Salem News production, Fentanyl, Death Incorporated documentary, obviously brought across by illegals of the cartel. But up next, childhood vaccines, so many of them. Do you really need all of them? Are they dangerous? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping, because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. True story. I was with Jay Ackerman, and a waitress came up and began praising Ackerman Toyota. She was afraid she might need a new car, so she had gone to Ackerman and was told, you don't really need a new car, just new tires. Obviously, tremendously relieved and thanking Jay over and over. Another example where Ackerman Toyota did what's right for her and will for you. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is News Talk STL.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. As I was saying a moment ago, one of the issues that parents often have to deal with is certainly when it comes to putting kids in school is vaccines. And there's a certain criteria of vaccines most schools want you to have before your children go in. Some have been understandable. They've been long tested. They've been safe. But the number of vaccines now required for some children in some districts is, you have to ask questions. Do they really need all of that? Joining us here, Dr. Edward Gear. He is a co-author of Unavoidably Safe, Childhood Vaccines Reconsidered. Doctor, welcome aboard, sir.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you.
You bet. So how many vaccines do kids get now compared to, let's say, 40, 50 years ago?
Well, hate to date myself, but when we were kids, the vaccine load, I think we had 11 vaccines. It's now around 72. Vaccines through childhood in the first year alone.
Wow.
Now,
72 in the first year.
Children will get 28 vaccines in the United States in their first year. This is the most of any nation in the world. Other nations, unfortunately, are trying to catch up to us. Right now, we lead the world in intoxicating our kids with these foreign proteins.
In the beginning, help me remember what the original was. We had rubella, German measles. We had tetanus.
Well, you had polio.
Yeah,
polio,
right.
DPT, and then we had smallpox really into the 50s. That was it for quite a while. Smallpox then went away. MMR got introduced, measles, mumps, rubella. But it was a very limited cluster of vaccines at the time. Consequently, the turning point was in 1986 when under Reagan, a law was passed. This was the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, which completely indemnified the drug companies from liability, product liability for vaccines approved by the U.S. government. And at that point, it just took off because there was no longer any risk to the companies if their vaccines were unsafe. And that was the origin, actually, of the title of the book, Unavoidably Unsafe, was a term that was used to justify vaccines, saying, well, they can't possibly all be safe, but we think they're justified anyway.
You know, I'm soaking that in, and that was in the Reagan years. We've had a lot of time to change it, and we've seen, obviously, repercussions from some vaccine reacts to kids. I mean, there's always been concern, more and more so, that this has led to autism and things of this nature. Is there any clear connection that's been found?
There is no clear connection one way or the other. Unfortunately, the FDA has taken the rigid position that there is no association between vaccines and autism. That simply hasn't been proven. One way or the other. In fact, there is a lot of evidence, and I point a lot of it out in my book, about the links that do exist between autism and vaccination. Do you know, for example, even though they make a blanket statement that vaccines don't cause autism, only one vaccine has ever been studied for this, and that was the MMR vaccine. And in fact, in my book, I even poke holes in the studies that were done to justify that conclusion. But extrapolating MMR to all of the other vaccines is completely untenable, unrealistic. And I think we've been defrauded by the FDA by making that assertion.
So are you telling us the justification from jumping to how many vaccines you say kids get now in the first year, 20 plus?
There are 72 doses. but there are actually 17 vaccines now that are approved.
All right, and is the justification just because the pharmaceutical companies want to inject? Or is there a reason for these kids to have these, Benny?
Oh, no, no, no. It's a really, these are, the FDA and other agencies are captured agencies by the pharmaceutical industry. There's a rotating door between the leadership of private and public services. And I believe it's completely driven by the economics of it. It's an enormous industry. It donates generously to the political action committees of the of both parties and to political campaigns. They are inextricably entwined with the regulatory and political environment in Washington, D.C.
And it's
this is a game that's about making money and keeping politicians in power. It has very little to do with public health.
You're listening to Dr. Edward Gear, one of the co-authors of Unavoidably Unsafe, Childhood Vaccines Reconsidered. He is a Duke University Medical School and also graduate of Yale University. And when I'm listening to you say this, I'm thinking about parents out there with young kids. I mean, is on one hand, they may certainly believe you're right, and I think we all do, that pharmaceutical companies are making a ton of money. But at the same time, you worry about the safety of your kid and the various diseases going around. What's a parent
That's
to do?
That's correct. Our whole point in the book is that what's important is informed consent. When you go to a pediatrician's office now, it's assumed that you're going to consent to vaccination without hearing any of the risks. You're just lined up and given the shot. And if you have a reaction, they'll say, oh, well, that happens from time to time, but it's rare. What should be happening in the pediatrician's office, again, we outline this in the book, what should be occurring is that a complete review of the vaccine and its risks and benefits to your child, not all children, but to your child should be discussed before consent is given.
Well, doctor, you know, whenever you see any pharmaceutical advertised on TV, there's a litany of may cause this, may cause this, may cause this. And by the time they're done with the list, you're thinking, hell, I'd rather have whatever the illness is.
That's correct. That is their requirement for advertising on TV. Unfortunately, that same principle doesn't apply to the physician's office. They can give you the vaccines without explaining any of the risks. What you do, you get handed a sheet of paper that's produced by the CDC called a vaccine information statement. It's a one-pager that basically says this vaccine is to treat so to prevent so-and-so. It's safe and it's effective. When in fact you go look at the package inserts, which are the detailed descriptions of the risks and benefits of vaccines that every manufacturer is required to insert in the package containing the vaccine vial, those are multi-page descriptions of all of those dangers.
And nobody reads
them. That's never reviewed. By the way, most physicians, 99% of physicians, never look at those inserts because they're too complicated.
I agree. I'm sure that is true. Well, for the parent, and some of the school districts require measles, mumps, and a few others like that already to even get in the school district. Do we still
That's
see
correct.
Those? Do we see that as viable?
No, I think that the mandating vaccine, which is what that is, without having true informed consent, really ought to be illegal. And I'm hoping under Kennedy's leadership of the HHS, they begin to remove those vaccine mandates. These should be choices between a family, the doctor, and the kid, and what's right for them, not what the public health authorities and the vaccine manufacturers think the kid ought to be getting.
And, of course, we also have numerous ailments showing up in our nation that we thought we'd wiped out or we're no longer here, but with 12 million or more illegals in the country that came in unhealth checked. We don't know what diseases we now have from third world countries.
We have some really bad things coming in. I can tell you that from my network of people that we know what's happening. There are things like antibiotic resistant tuberculosis coming in. These are some of the most dangerous diseases that exist on Earth right now, and they're being imported into our country.
So are you anti-vax?
No, I'm a vaccine skeptic. I'm pro-information. I'm pro-informed consent. And what we describe in the book is how parents need to obtain informed consent from their physician. That is, participate in informed consent with a physician.
And that assumes the physician is doing his or her job.
That's correct. And if they're not, you need to find another doc who is.
But, you know, I had a physician, a pediatrician for our children. They loved him. I loved him. And I trusted him at every step of the way. I would never question. Thank God my children are in great health, and so are their children. But some things obviously can be unforeseen. I just want to know how we draw the line for a parent who's doing the best they can for their child, relying upon a pediatrician maybe they've had in the family or for friends' families for years, as to if they're getting full and accurate disclosure.
One thing you have to realize is that most physicians, including pediatricians, have very little training in the vaccine. They learn the schedules that they're supposed to give. They'll learn some of the risks and benefits. They will not go through all of the research that was done behind those vaccines. That's what we do in the book. And each of the vaccines we evaluate on a simple scoring system about its risks and benefits. So you can learn what your own doctor isn't learning in medical school about each of the vaccines.
So one in the last 30 seconds, you think RFK Jr. will help get folks new knowledge?
I think he will shine light on an industry that's gotten away with the consent of the regulators and gotten away with more than they should have. I think that all of this needs to be reexamined. I think some vaccines will come out of it just fine. And I think others really ought to be confined to the dustbin of history.
The book is Unavoidably Unsafe, Childhood Vaccines Reconsidered. Dr. Geer, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Coming up, New York Congressman Jeffries telling Democrats what you need to be doing right now.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545. 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct, priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. Want a special gift for someone who enjoys a good cigar or premium whiskey? Head for Lit Cigar Lounge in the district of Chesterfield Valley. You'll also find amazing, unusual lighters and ashtrays. You can't decide? Get a gift card. When you finish, walk a few doors down and enjoy Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. The pizza baked in a coal-fired oven. Select from the menu or design your own. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. This hour of Larry Connors USA, brought to you by my friends at Renewal by Anderson. And listen to this. Renewal is having a killer of a sale. Buy any window or door. Get a second one. 50% off, zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal has the most five-star reviews of any full-service window company. Simply dial #250, #250, and say the key word, windows.
This is News Talk STL.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As House Democrats, our position is simple. There are three things that we should all be focused on in connection with the American people. First, lowering costs. Second, bigger paychecks for hardworking American taxpayers. And third, securing safer communities. That's going to be our North Star moving forward. And we'll see whether the incoming administration is prepared to join us on behalf of the American people.
That is New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader in the House, saying here's what we need to focus on to make things better for American people, and we'll pull them back into our tent. Those who left us will come rushing back in. The three things again: lowering costs, less taxes on hardworking Americans, safer communities. And every one of those issues we're facing created by the Democrats. We don't have safer communities because they have opened the door to illegals to come in the country and go anywhere and everywhere they want and commit crimes. We don't have safer communities aside from illegals. I'm looking at video earlier today, folks, three or four women walking into a nice-looking department store, picking up some shopping bags, and they just go around the aisles, picking up what they want, put in the bag, and walk right out. While others are pushing carts around, picking up things, and they will be paying for theirs. If everybody went in and did that, do you think they'd put a stop to it? And, of course, the employees are prohibited often from doing anything to interfere with someone who is shoplifting. One, it's not worth anyone being hurt. That I agree. But two, this attitude that this administration has been giving us safer communities. No, they haven't. And I told you earlier how New York Governor Hochul was proclaiming how great it is to ride the New York subways here at holiday times. And I've done it before. I've been up in New York over the Christmas holidays. And it's festive and everything, and yet there's still some people that not everybody's into it. At the same time, some of them are dealing with depression. Then you have this illegal who's been arrested, seen on video, all on video, pouring a flammable liquid upon a woman sleeping in one of the cars who appeared to be homeless, and then lighting her up, and then just sitting there watching her burn to death. And less taxes? They don't want to make less taxes on hardworking Americans. They say they do, but they don't really. I have a piece that was put out in the New York Post. And I would have overlooked it except for my boots-on-the-ground correspondent, Andrew, pointed it out to me. This was written by Daniel McCarthy. And it's worth sharing some of his thoughts. It's titled, Democrats Are Lost in a Leadership Crisis with No Savior on the Horizon. He said, right now, shocked by Donald Trump's sweeping victory, Democrats are playing the blame game and Joe Biden is a scapegoat. Democrats who knew Biden was well past his prime in 2020, who concealed his frailty all the way until June, now say he was selfish to run for re-election. Yet Biden was the only Democrat capable of giving Trump a real fight, as Harris's performance proved. Clinton, Harris, other Democrat hopefuls from Pete Buttigieg to Gavin Newsom only offer the same: identity politics, transgenderism for children. The closest things Democrats had to an alternative were the illusion of Biden, the ordinary Joe, and the throwback of Bernie Sanders. So what do they have now? He adds, well, they had it coming, lousy governing, stoked black and Hispanic votes revolting against the Democrat Party. Governor Whitmer, in the midst of Harris's presidential campaign, stopped to pose for a photo mocking the sacrament of Holy Communion, with the governor placing a Dorito on a kneeling social media influencer's website. Josh Shapiro got passed over. Colorado Jared Polis isn't as beholden to wokeism and identity politics as others. He could be tempted to a presidential run to boast of being the first openly homosexual candidate with a plausible shot at the White House. But Polis is not an economic populist. His libertarian streak might help with some general election voters. The only man who can save the Democrats is the one they hate the most. Here comes Donald Trump. They had to learn from his success. As Ronald Reagan sought success, taught reluctant Democrats you need to appreciate and build upon free markets. He said now they have to learn to appreciate secure borders. They used to appreciate it. Obama and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton each had said, we are a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. The Biden-Harris progressive camp came in, threw all that out the door. He said they have to have a policy, economic locally and foreign, that puts America and Americans first. He said if Democrats do that, they'll naturally become less woke and more electable. And that's the other thing they need to do. They need to get the wokeness out. And what Joe Biden has just done is just going to make it worse. He decided to commute the sentences of 37 of 40 individuals on death row, commuting it. Senator Cotton of Arkansas said, once again, Democrats side with depraved criminals over their victims, public order, and common decency. He said, Democrats cannot even defend Biden's outrageous decision as some kind of principled across-the-board opposition to the death penalty, since he did not commute the three most politically toxic cases. Those three are not on the list: the gunman at the 2018 Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, the guy who opened fire in 2015 on the black church at Charleston, South Carolina, and one of the two brothers who carried out the 2013 Boston Marathon. The others see their sentences classified from execution to life without the possibility of parole, and those cannot be overturned. They cannot be overturned now. So they will be moved off death row. Those are federal. When Trump came in, he did restart executions of federal charges. As soon as Biden came in, he put a stop to it. Biden said, make no mistake, I condemn all of these, grieve for the victims of their injustice, their despicable acts, and ache for the families. But guided by my conscience, my experience as a public defender, I am more convinced than ever we must stop the use of the death penalty at the federal level. Well, then why not all 40 of them? Why not on 40? Because those last three I listed, he knows that that would be way too big to overstep. Trump has made it clear he will resume the death penalty, and it will be expanded to include child rapists and illegal immigrants who kill U.S. citizens and law enforcement officers. That is a statement of making our country safer. Biden says, I oppose the death penalty, but for these three, I'm going to let it happen because it's too toxic to stop those, even though I will be long gone when all that's resolved. And just when you thought the leftist wacko could not get even more so, I bring you this case. Progressives are pushing that car crash test must include, stand back, Sam, you do not know how big this is going to get. Car crash test, you know where they run the car in, they're videotaping and everything. They're dummies sitting in there all the time, right? Well, they now must include female dummies because that story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
The Napoli heritage of fine dining continues with Napoli Kirkwood. Napoli Kirkwood, now open. So add that to Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. And don't forget about Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district, Chesterfield Valley. All of those locations, plus now, open, Napoli, Kirkwood.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
address the roadway safety crisis, including the critical funding that would accelerate the development. And this is an area I've written to you about, of the use of female dummies in crash testing. This will start to fight the gender inequity among vehicle safety and crash victims.
We don't have gender inequity. The dummies are dummies. They have no genitalia. How would you know they're male or female? Well, those supposedly as smaller dummies are considered female, or maybe they're just larger children. That was Connecticut Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro. You know her by her purple hair and her big eyeglasses. But she can't see anything, obviously, because she can't see how stupid this sounds. Susan Molinari, Republican in New York, who chairs Verity now, a group advocating for closing gender disparities in vehicle safety, she's taken the same point. She said, "This is absolutely outrageous and stunning to me that we're still fighting for equal representation where federal dollars are being used. The crash test regulators use to rate vehicle safety do not use, quote, female test dummies in the driver's seat in a key test in which the tests are used. Advocates say that discrepancy means hundreds of women needlessly die in crashes every year." I've been looking, and I don't see anything scientific about any of this. All I see is that it's more woke policy. There's nothing reference your genitalia that identifies you as a male or female that's going to be any different in a crash for one way or the other, except you might lose a part of your body that the other dummy wouldn't have. I'm thinking if you're looking for some female dummies, I can find you some. Find you some male dummies as well. I would look and start my search inside the Democrat Party. Tucker Carlson stating, after hearing her comments, "Call us woke, but it seems like transphobia. Did it ever occur to the congresswoman to put lipstick on the male dummies and have them identify as female?" Good point. This is the kind of nonsense that the Democrats think will win everybody back into the tent. No, you're not going to get anybody to come in except those that are just absolutely mindless. Oh, and you might get a few snails and worms crawling in under your tent, which would be the same thing. The other day, the tragedy of the shooting at the Madison High School, where a young girl, teenager, took a pistol, shot and killed another classmate and a teacher, and then herself. The gun used in that shooting was purchased legally, according to authorities. Now, how did the child get it? Well, if you're a gun owner, you must protect your weapons and lock them and secure them from your children, especially if they're dealing with illnesses. In the meantime, the Madison High School students began to rally for assault weapons ban, as did Kamala Harris right after the shooting. It was not an assault weapon. It was a pistol. And yet over the weekend, someone drive a car through a German festival streets market for Christmas. I guess that car will have to be banned now too, particular model. Oh, and one other point about the shooting in the school the other day. CNN just could not wait to jump on it to shame any parent, especially fathers, if you give your sons or your daughter a hunting rifle for Christmas. If you want to get them involved in hunting and gun safety, CNN wants you to know that you could be creating a killer of human beings We can repeat it over and over again, but it's not going to get through to those who are absolutely deaf, and that is there are more guns in this country than there are people. If guns were an issue, we would know it. I can take any gun and put it on a desk in front of you. You're perfectly safe. Coming up, Donald Trump says it's time that we get the Panama Canal back under our control. Good idea. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.